You're tuned in to the Haller and Hilton Hill Show. Sponsored by Commercial Bank. Life made better. On News Talk 987 WOKI.
Baby Jesus, born up above him.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, Halloran. How are you today?
Week and a half. We're there, bro. We are there.
I know. It's just crazy.
It's great. Well, it's great to have you here today because you help people with their finances. You are well-respected in this community. I have heard on your show some of the biggest names in the financial industry. And you do a great show.
Well, thank you.
I enjoy listening to you. But there's a lot of wisdom in what you do at Brogan Financial. And, moreover, you are always staying on the cutting edge. You're always learning, always growing. You're that kind of guy. And I had not thought about it, but giving really should be part of your financial planning. You should have a plan to give. And we get down toward the end of the year, and people are like, oh, tax time is coming right around the corner. How do I give? What do I give? So let's start there because you have that kind of heart, too. And we're talking about the power and importance of giving. Talk about where giving should show up in your financial plan and that it should show up in your financial plan.
Yeah, I don't think it's something we should just do once or twice a year, Haller, and I think it needs to be a fundamental part of everything that we do. And there's a bunch of reasons for that. I mean, you know, my worldview is we need to give out of our income regularly, but regardless of your worldview and your foundation of beliefs, I think recognizing there's other people in the world that just have far greater needs than we do when we're earning a wage. In terms of actual giving, the thing that really is rewarding in a and why I say it needs to be a foundation in the financial plan is because money-life balance is a challenge for all of us. I mean, we live in a world. There's just material stuff everywhere, and it's easy to get distorted. It's always been that way back, but it's gotten more and more that way. You know, they asked J.D. Rockefeller, how much money is enough? You know what he said? A little bit more. if money is the goal,
right.
If money is the objective, the be-all, it'll never be enough. And I think what giving does is, you know, your heart follows your wallet, your checkbook. We've all heard that expression. It's true. But what it does, it puts everything in proportion for us. It helps us have a healthy relationship with the money. And it helps us maintain that work-life balance. Money-life balance. Because without it, it's just empty.
So there's an interesting trend in America, though, going on. We probably haven't seen this type of economic or market boom in a long time. I mean, right now the numbers are just crazy. Sub 4% unemployment. If you look at all of the markets, every market is up a ridiculous amount. Some are predicting, because the economy is so hot, that you could see a fall off in first quarter of next year. But the president's sitting on, you know, potentially finishing this China trade deal. And that's been the real break on breakout growth has been the concern about that China trade deal. But I think that's going to get done. But giving is down.
It's actually down. From 2017 to 18, it was down almost 4%. Halloran, if I take out the Great Recession of 07 and 08, charitable giving was down more from 17 to 18 than at any time since the 1980s.
What's going
on?
So
we have a booming economy.
Right.
Well, a lot of it is the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Really?
I think that's a lot of it because, you know, we used to have roughly 70% of people did not itemize.
Ah, so people, because of the tax cut, they would use giving as a way to give themselves a tax cut.
Right. It was an extra motivation to save on their tax return. And now we only have roughly, you know, 11-12% of Americans are estimated going to itemize in 2019.
That's amazing.
You know, he needs a show name.
I think so.
Jim, make it rain, Brogan. You know, seriously, because I've known Jim a long time. I mean, we spent a lot of time together in this store. He's a good customer. We've been in church together. I listen to him on the radio. And what he says, it not only comes from his economic background, but from his heart.
Yeah, I mean, you know your stuff. So I that's the one thing that I hadn't anticipated was that the tax cut would reduce charitable giving because people were giving for the tax cut.
Or at least it was a big part of it.
Tax savings.
I mean, we were worried about that. I was worried about that when that was passed. I was worried about what the numbers would look like with charitable giving. So we've got to, you know, we want to give to give. I mean, I think, it's that money-life balance. But we do want to be smart about how we do it. So we want to be strategic so we can get advantages where we can. And that's the problem is a lot of people don't know how to do it.
So kind of talk about the smart way to give then.
Right. So most people don't really plan that. Most people don't plan how they can maybe every other year they could maybe itemize their deductions if they are smart. Like, for example, I could decide I'm not going to pay any property tax in 2019. And then in 2020, I could pay it twice. I could pay it in February for 2019. And then I could pay it in December for 2020. So I'm driving up my deductions. Now, there's some limits there. We can't do more than $10,000, but we can be smart about how we time things like property tax, big purchases where we can get a sales tax write-off, and how we do our charitable giving. You know, there's ways you can load things into one year to give for the next year. There are strategies to do that. I don't want to get too deep into the onion today, where you can set aside money, get the charitable contribution now, and then control it and give it to the charity when you want to give it to the charity. So it's all about just being smart and understanding the code. If you're over 70 and a half, you can give directly from IRA to the charity or church and get a page one tax deduction in addition to the standard deduction.
What is a page one tax deduction?
It comes straight off adjusted. And that's kind of a, I probably shouldn't say that because it's kind of an old terminology prior to the new tax returns that we file that are, everything's kind of on page one now. But it comes straight off adjusted gross income. So it, your charitable deductions, when you make a deduction, you have your adjusted gross income, which is all of your income. And then you take a deduction after that. And if you can get things off of adjusted gross income,
it changes the number. It could functionally do a lot of different things if you're hitting that big number.
Right. I kind of equate the adjusted gross income number. It's kind of like a pinball machine. When I shoot that pinball out, the higher the adjusted gross income, the higher that pinball shoots out on the pinball machine. And that, what does that mean? That means more bumpers that it's going to hit on the way down, and those bumpers are phase outs of deductions and credits. It's the inability to take some things like health care deductions. It's all kinds of things. So when somebody 70 and older gives from their IRA directly to church or charity, only it's reverse age discrimination. People over 70 years old can have this tremendous tax opportunity.
You keep looking at me when you say over 70.
No. Pinball thing for us, didn't he? Two knuckleheads on the other side of the table.
He's like, I see you over there, Hal.
Well, I turned 50 this year.
And our eyes started glassing over. He saw he was losing us.
You old boys understand what I'm saying?
No.
So let me ask you this, Jim. Any last-minute tips? We're closing out 2019. Any last-minute giving tips?
Please say, come spend at Kimball's.
Bingo.
I love Danny Overby. He really hooked me up last year on my 25th wedding anniversary.
True story.
He hooked me up. I got a beautiful piece for my wife. I think it's be intentional about everything that you do and just be, you know, giving both to church and charity, but also to other people that are in need. I mean, it's okay to give and not get a tax deduction. Again, it's about seeing the impact of that gift in people's lives. I mean, that's what it's all about. So in the hustle and bustle of Christmas, I mean, I love giving gifts.
That's the spirit.
I love giving to my family. I love giving to my friends. But I love giving to other people that need it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, you want to bring all that together. And it, again, it'll help with your money-life balance, I promise.
There's power in giving, man. I mean, there really is.
It is. It comes back tenfold.
Yes, it does.
But here's the thing. Giving as a lifestyle, as a way of being, it makes you feel freer. What I've noticed is that people who hoard or people who hold everything close, they always have a scarcity mentality. It's not just it's a mentality, and that mentality has an attractive force. Because people who live in that scarcity mentality, they always feel victimized and they always feel like somebody's out to get them. Just the weight of living with that feeling is just too weighty. Givers, though, feel like, I give. You know, the word says give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together. So you have this kind of you have this abundance mentality that says, I'm free to give to you, Jim, because I know more is on the way. Apple trees don't eat apples, and if you don't pick the fruit, the next season of apples don't come. So I give so that it will keep coming.
That's part of that money life balance,
right?
Givers just are blessed abundantly, and it's more ways than just. We don't just get back monetarily.
No.
About getting back just all the emotional rewards and seeing lives be blessed and changed. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
It's not having that heaviness all the time. When you just feel like it's okay. I was reading this one author, and they said that if you have eight slices of pizza and 10 people show up, you're like, oh, no. And you're very judicious about how you hand out the slices because you believe when it's all gone, it's all gone. But if you have a pizza oven in the kitchen, you're like, help yourself. Go, we'll just make more pizza. We'll just make more. And I kind of feel like as long as blessed as we are in America, we got pizza ovens over here. We got pizza ovens. This is going to be some more. So, Jim Brogan, talk about your radio show before you leave as well.
More Living.
Yes.
With Jim Brogan tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. I'm going to have...
You've got this Navy SEAL guy coming?
Navy SEAL commander, former Navy SEAL commander, Dan O'Shea.
Wow.
We're going to talk about his experience in the SEAL teams. He started... Talking about giving, he started the Tampa Bay Frogman, which is a swim every year in January that I participate in. We swim 3 miles across Tampa Bay to benefit the Navy SEAL Foundation. But we're going to talk about his experience in the SEALs, the importance of honoring our veterans. I mean, it's really kind of crazy that we don't take better care of our veterans.
Hey, you know, by the way, just a sidebar, you know where I've been hearing, great stories. The VA hospital in Tri-Cities, they've got their act together.
Yeah, they had a redo up there.
They had a redo, and they got their act together now. They're killing the game is what I'm hearing.
Right.
And I've heard it from 5 or 6 different people that I trust. You go up there, and I don't know whoever did the reset up at the Tri-Cities, they treat them like when our vets go up there, when they are met, 5 or 6 team members meet you in one sitting, and they all are like, you do this, you do this, you do this. And they kind of circle around the person like, you're not leaving here until we take care of everything you
need.
That
is great to hear that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that the MD Anderson business model?
Yeah.
Because we've got to honor our veterans better.
Oh, yeah.
We got to take care of our veterans and our families.
Absolutely.
Families of soldiers that have been killed in war.
Yeah.
We got to take better care of our people.
That's one way we can give is by showing appreciation. Thank you for coming by, Jim Brogan.
My pleasure.
Check him out tomorrow
Merry
morning.
Yeah.
Dan O'Shea on his show tomorrow morning. That's going to be a great, great interview. Now, Jim, you are released to go spend more money here at Kimball's.
I saw how thick his wallet was when he walked
this
in.
I didn't tell Dee Dee where I was going, and I told her. And she's like, oh, you're going to Kimball's?
She's my buddy.
Airborne traffic, Pete Michaels.
Well, you're lined up out of downtown both directions around West Hills, Paper Bowl Road, Cedar Bluff, Mississippi Parkway. Look for Rec Burrell Road in Gleason. 129 bypass Louisville.